Yeah, we just give a little bit of a special welcome to some. We have some new guests who are joining us on some of the Shabbos Shiurim. So we're actually beginning a new malacha tonight. So it's a good time, definitely, to join us. Those who've been joining us for the past, so we're going to continue now with the malacha of bone, the malacha of building, of constructing. The malacha of bone has many, many very, very real practical applications for us. Hopefully, at the show over the next couple of weeks, we'll talk about many, many practical issues. But let's first almost get a little bit of a background in terms of lomdus and in terms of the basic principles, some of the basic principles that are the background for the malach of bona of building, constructing. And then we'll start to give some practical applications, lemaisa, even tonight. So the Gemara tells us a principle relating to bona, which is not such a surprising principle. It's something that we're familiar with in other areas of Hilchos Shabbos. Yeah, there are some Isurim Deraisa and there are some Isurim Derabana. Sometimes bona is prohibited on a Torah level, and sometimes bona is only prohibited on a Derabanandika level. How do we know which is which? So here it's a little bit unclear. The Gemara speaks about two terms. The Gemara focuses about Asiyas Ohel, literally the pitching of a tent, constructing a pitching of a tent, the building of a tent, can be a violation of bona, sometimes derais and sometimes derabanan. So the Gemara tells us that if it's an ohel keva, it's an isim in HaTorah. If it's an ohel arai, then it's only a prohibition, then it's only isim in derabanan. The question is, what in the world do those two terms mean, ohel keva and ohel arai? So we have seen those terms, keva and arai, in other malachos. The question is how to define them properly in other areas, but particularly as it relates to the malacha of bona and the malacha of Asiyas Ohel. So the Rif in Masechet Shabbos seems to tell us that the definition of Ohel Aroi and Ohel Keva is not so much a function of time, but rather it's a function of size. But the size of the Ohel per se, the size of the structure, the size of the tent that you're building. There's the Rif, if the Ohel is a certain size, then it's considered to be an ohel on a level of deraisa, and it would be a violation of Kol Shabbos deraisa. If the ohel is smaller than that size, doesn't meet that size criteria, then it will at worst only be an issur derabanan. The question is, what is that size? What is that magic number that makes up the size that differentiates between an issur deraisa and an issur derabanan? So the Rif makes reference to a shear, to a measurement that appears in Hilchos Ohel, but not Hilchos Ohel for Shabbos per se, in other areas of Hilchos Ohel, and that's the size of a tefach, the size of a fist. Where in the world does the halacha of a tefach play a role in terms of Hilchos Ohel? So there is another area of halacha that the term Ohel is critical for, and that is in the halachas of Tuma v'tahara. You know, there one of the ways that a mace, that a dead body or part of a body would spread Tuma is through Tumas Ohel. There are actually three different ways that a person can become Tamei, susceptible to the laws of Tuma and coming into contact with the mace. Either by touching the mace, that's what's called Tumas Naga, or Tumas Masa, by moving the mace, or by Tumas Ohel, by being under the same roof as a mace. So even if a person didn't come near, didn't touch, didn't move, no actual physical contact, just merely being on the same roof, can't spread the tomb as well. Tomb as well is a series of psukim that are found in Parashas Chukas. So it's a Torah Adam Ki Yomis Ba'ohel. And when it comes to Hilchos Ohel, what's considered to be the smallest possible structure, so to speak, that can spread tumor, what's considered to be the smallest possible shear of a covering that could potentially spread tumor? So here the Gemara tells us that there is a halacha Moshe Ben Sinai that the shear of an Ohel for tumor purposes is a tefach. The same way we have other shiurim that were given to us, halacha Moshe Ben Sinai, kezayis and da'al ames and da'al tfachim and ten tfachim. So we don't really ask questions about the shiurim. The Gemara tells us that shiurim were part of halacha Moshe Ben Sinai. So too, we have this tradition, Pishal Ben Shabbeinu, that when the Torah describes an ohel in Parashas Chukas, it is talking about the bare bone minimum of an ohel the size of a tefach. So the Rif borrows that idea in Hilchos Tuma and now plugs it into the Shabbos, and the Rif tells us that you see from Hilchos Tuma that the Torah definition of an ohel is a tefach, less than a tefach. The Torah is not mitzayches to. The Torah doesn't address. So just as in Hilchos Tuma, the shear of ohel is a tefach, so too in Hilchos Shabbos, the shear is a tefach as well. Therefore, the deraisadik violation of bona through a CS ohel is only if one builds a structure which is the bare bone minimum of a tefach. If it's less than a tefach, then it cannot possibly be a deraisa. It doesn't mean that it's mutter. then it becomes asur midirabbanan. According to the Rif, the criteria to determine whether something is an old deraisa is ultimately a question of size. So the Rosh takes issue with the Shittus Arif, and the Rosh says that he thinks that the terms old kevin, old aroi, should not be understood in terms of size, but rather should be understood in the way they're understood in other malachas, namely, is it permanent or is it temporary? We've already spoken about it in the past and a while ago in terms of the malach of kosher, malacha of tying knots. When it comes to the malach of tying knots, so we also saw there's a principle of a kesher shel kayama and a kesher sheino shel kayama, and that was a function, at least partially a function of time. So time is of the essence. Time is critical in terms of defining whether something's a malach of deraisa. So too, a CSOL cannot possibly be an issa deraisa bona unless it's there for a significant amount of time. How long is a significant amount of time? So that was something that we struggled with in previous malachas as well. It's not 100% clear what the cutoff point of time is. But, says the Rosh, it's clear that it's necessary. It's clear that, that time is a significant factor in determining whether something is also min haTorah midirabbanan. So again, everybody agrees to the basic facts on the ground. Everyone agrees that there's a malacha bona. Everyone agrees that a CSOL, the making of a tent, can sometimes be of bona. Everyone agrees with the Gemara tells us that sometimes there's an old deraisa and sometimes there's an old midirabbanan. And so far everyone agrees to that part. But now the difference of opinion between the Rif and the Rosh is what is the factor? So according to the Rif, it seems to be the factor of size, modeled after tefach of tumah. And the Rosh says that's not really the factor. The factor really is a function of time. It is this sheet is a Rif that becomes somewhat problematic because there are Gemaras that don't seem to bear out this idea. According to the Rif, it would appear that any time you make any kind of a structure, such as an OL, kind of a protective structure, but once it's more than a tefach, the game's over. It's an issa d'oraisa. So that's not borne out by a Gemara that appears in the end of Maseches Erevin, where the Gemara speaks about the sugya of Tosefes al Ol Aroi. The Gemara tells us that even though making a Ol Aroi, whatever you define Ol Aroi means, either time or size, even though making all aroi is a prohibition midirabbanan, since it's only midirabbanan, Chazal built in a certain kula. Chazal said that if you do what's called mosiv al aroi, that it's permissible. If you don't actually make the aroi from scratch, but you simply add to it, and it's always basically made already. It was already stretched out. It was already spread out a little bit from before Shabbos, and now I'm just adding on to it. So technically speaking, that's okay. That iser doesn't even apply even midirabbanan. Mosiv al aroi. So one of the examples that the Gemara gives us about Mosif al Aroi, the Gemara talks about the spreading out of some kind of a protection, some kind of a sheet or something over the animals in the sun. The animals were going to get very, very hot for the daytime. So they wanted to be able to spread out the sheet in order to protect the animals. That was a shaila of a CSOL. The Gemara says, as long as you started the oil from beforehand, it would be okay to add on to it because it's only derabbanan anyway, and most of the Leroy is the worst only, it's not even an issa derabbanan. The problem is, according to the Rosh, I understand why this is only a derabbanan. There's no deraisa anywhere because everything is very, very temporary. This all goes up, comes down, day and night. So there's no deraisa. But according to the Rif, that presumably time doesn't play such a major role. It's just a question of size. So if this sheet was more than a tefach, which sounds probably was pretty big, a lot of animals. So if the sheet is more than a tefach, you have a shot of deraisa. So how could the Gemara just be so lenient and say, oh, it's no problem. It's not a derabbanan anyway, don't worry about it. You can add on to it. So how do you understand this Gemara? So the Nedib Yehuda became a very, very famous tshuva. Well, we'll see in a moment why it became so famous. The Nedib Yehuda in his tshuva suggests that even according to the Rif, just simply making a roof as a protection is not really an issur of bona min haTorah. In order for it to be bona min haTorah, you need an entire structure. An entire structure means mechitzos as well as a gag. And that's going to become a critical principle throughout our discussion of bona at the beginning, is that the real bona fide bona deraisa argues in Yehuda is you have to make sides and a top. If you just simply make a top, just spread a sheet out, that can never ever be deraisa by definition. So since it can't be deraisa, then we can talk about being mosif, being permissible. So when all the dust settles now, we have to almost like redefine what bona deraisa is, what a CSOL deraisa is. According to the Rosh, time is a major factor. According to the Rif, it's not really a significant factor. According to the Rif, size is a factor, but that's not the only factor, says the Nedib Yehuda. Obviously, in order to to explain that Gemara, the other says, hey, you have to add on this additional factor that it has to have a roof as well as walls, and it has that whole structure like of a roof and walls, and then and only then will it be an Isidira. It is this background that we're talking about that sets the stage for what I mentioned a moment ago, that this is a very, very famous Nei Debihuda, because this Nei Debihuda is the tshuva where he discusses umbrellas. Umbrellas were not around the days of the Rishonim, but already by the days of Nei Debihuda, umbrellas, Nei Debihuda lived in the 1700s, umbrellas were already gaining popularity. And the Nei Debihuda actually discusses as an entire tshuva about the permissibility or lack thereof of umbrellas. And he tells you just a little bit of a little bit of background. And Abita tells you that he actually gave a drasha in a shul about it. He writes multiple times to convince people to stop carrying umbrellas on Shabbos. Apparently, it was a issue in Prague. He was the Rav, no doubt, in other communities as well. And Abita writes that he had to speak about it. Spoke about it many, many times. And he writes at the end of tshuva, Rav, people listened to him. It's another way of saying that not everybody listened to him. So you get the impression that even the Yudah gave a very, very strong drasha against the carrying of umbrellas, and not everybody listened. Obviously, there must have been an Erev in town. There was no Erev in town, then I don't think the issue would have even been raised in the first place. Of course, there was an Erev in town. And it was just a question of, is there anything wrong with opening and closing an umbrella on Shabbos? So what exactly is the issue? So the Yudah writes in this tshuva that he thinks that the opening of an umbrella on Shabbos is a potential malacha deraisa of bona. It's a potential malacha deraisa of asiyas ohel. You're making a tent-like kind of a structure. So says in Aduda, I'm well aware of the fact that it's temporary because people don't open their umbrellas and leave them open for the next 20 years. Obviously, they're going to open and close them. So says in Aduda, I'm well aware of the fact that it's temporary. But I don't think, says in Aduda, that temporary is so important because I think we have to be concerned with the Rif's view. Not true. The makes reference to the rush as well. He says, but it's a shot of a deraisa, something deraisa. So we have to be machmir, we have to be strict with the view of the Rif, that just because something is temporary, that in of itself does not negate it from being a possible malacha deraisa. And therefore, the view of the paskin, that the opening of an umbrella is a very, very serious shayla of a deraisa, is considered to be an asiyas ol. Now, the Nabi Yehuda in that tshuva makes a reference to what he just said a moment ago, that that's only true if there are mechitzas and a gag as well. So says in Nabi Yehuda, well, anyone who knows what an umbrella looked like in the 1700s, myself not included, says in Nabi Yehuda, an umbrella is not just a top to it. The umbrellas in those days had sides to them as well. It was, you get the umbrella, it's like walking around a little box over your head. So it says in Nabi Yehuda, if you have an umbrella that you're holding, you opened it up, and now you basically built the walls by opening it before. It was opened, it was just a flat thing, it wasn't serving any function. You opened it up, so you built the walls, and you built the roof, and you're carrying it over your head to protect yourself from the rain and from the sun, whatever you're doing with the umbrella. So says the Nabi Yehuda, you were just bona and all. You just put oisin and all in Shabbos, and that's an isidir oisin. And again, not according to everybody. According to the Russia, it wouldn't be because it's not permanent. But according to the Rif, who ignored permanence as being a factor, so then this has all the makings of an Isidir Eis. It's more than a tefach, and it has walls and a top. So this is a very, very serious problem. This was the famous psak of the Nei Debihuda. So notwithstanding the Nei Debihuda's psak, the Chassam Sofer disagreed with this psak. The Chassam Sofer writes that he is not advocating l'chadchila opening umbrellas in Shabbos. He writes that as a preface to his tshuva. He also thinks that it's not the right thing to open umbrellas on Shabbos, but he doesn't think it's as serious a problem as in Nei Debihuda. And he goes on to show you why he feels that opening umbrella is not an outright Issa D'Oraisa, not even sure that it's an Issa D'Rabbanan. Explains to you for multiple reasons why not. So one of the issues that Chassam Sofer takes issue with the Nei Debihuda is that significance, a lack thereof of time. So the Nei Debihuda played down the notion of time, saying that the Rosh emphasizes time as being a factor and being a deraisa, but others didn't. The Chassam Sofer claims that even the Rif may have agreed to a certain extent of the significance of time. The Chassam Sofer argues that to say that you can have an Issa deraisa of a very, very temporary kind of a structure, so he finds that very, very difficult. He quotes the Yerushalmi, where the Yerushalmi actually discusses how could we learn out bona from the Mishkan, all the belongs to learn out from the Mishkan. So the Rishami says, but the Mishkan was only temporary. So the Rishami quotes at least one answer to the Rishami. The Rishami says, no, that even though the Mishkan theoretically was temporary, it was a Pi Hashem So it means when they built it, they had no idea how long it's gonna last. So somehow that's considered to be, it was considered to be chashuv. The mishkan is considered to be like a permanent structure, even though the ma'aseh may have ended up to be temporary. So he quotes this Yerushalmi that seems to be going with the mindset that to say that a regular temporary structure is going to be deraisa can't be. It has to be either a permanent structure. It's got to be the mishkan, or even the mishkan itself was considered to be like permanent, so to speak. But to say that a temporary structure is deraisa, so the some service said it's very, very hard to believe. Then some sefer takes the second issue with the Neidav Yehuda, and he says that even according to you, the Neidav Yehuda, that in theory you can have a deraisa even if it's temporary, but you agree to me that it has to have walls. If it doesn't have walls, the game's over. That was the raya from the Gemara Ne'erevin, because the Gemara Ne'erevin spoke about putting a sheet over the animals and only called that a derabanan. The Gemara said that's not a deraisa. Why is it not a deraisa according to the Rif? It must be because it doesn't have walls. So comes to some sefer and turned around to Neidav Yehuda and said that even you can see that it has to have walls. Says some sefer, I don't think the umbrellas have walls. Well, you know, they did a hint. Some sefer lived in Pressburg and the Yehuda lived in Prague. They weren't that far away from one another. So either the umbrellas did or they didn't have the walls. It wasn't that many years between them either. Neidav Yehuda was a little bit older than the some sefer, but this particular tshuva of some sefer was written, I saw the date on this tshuva, so it was 1813. So you're talking about not that long after the Nebuda. I don't remember the date the Nebuda had written his tshuva in. So you're talking about pretty much the same kind of an umbrella. So the Chassam Sofer says, no, the umbrellas up here, they're not considered to have walls. Why they're not considered to have walls? Because they're what's called the mechitza tluya. The walls are suspended, the walls are not on the ground. There's a halacha nuchas eruvin. You may remember this not that long ago. There's a halacha nuchas eruvin, and when you want to build a wall to permit an area to carry on Shabbos, so the wall has to go down to the ground. You can have a wall suspended in midair. That's what's called the mechitza tluya. So mechitza tluya is not acceptable. That's a sugya in eruvin and a sugya in masechta sukkah, both for eruvin purposes as well as for sukkah purposes. So if you build a sukkah and the walls of the sukkah don't reach the ground, they're suspended in midair, so we paskin that's not acceptable. That's called the mechitza teluya. So comes the Chassam Sefer and said to the Nevi Yehuda, just as in a Shabbos for Erevin and for Chesukah, a mechitza teluya is a nishkin mechitza. It's not called the mechitza. It's not called the wall. So to Hilchas Oval purposes, it's not called the wall either. And since even you can see that you have to have a wall and a roof in order for it to be a real malacha, you don't have. When you have an umbrella, you simply have a top. You don't have a bottom, no walls, because the walls don't go all the way down to the ground. So the Neidav Yehuda must have clearly held that even though that principle is true when it comes to Erevin and Sukkah, that has nothing to do with this. That's a special prop, that's a special quirk in Uchaz Erevin and Sukkah, that you have to have a wall that reaches the ground. The Gemara in one place says that why do you have to have a wall that reaches the ground? Because otherwise it's what's called a Mechitza Shagdi and Bokenba. If you have a wall that goats can walk under, so then that undermines the significance of the wall. It's Hilchos Shabbos purposes, you have to have a wall that separates between the different rishiyos. Well, let's say in Hilchos Sukkah, you have to have a wall that's demarcating, that's circling you, that's making you sitting in a sukkah. But if you have a wall that the animals are going up and down, underneath, they're sneaking under the walls, so that's not considered to be a wall. So the shiyah that the halacha says is it has to be within three tvachim of the ground. If it's more than three tvachim suspended above the ground, that's called the mechitza shagdi mechram lefkabo. They could just walk right under it. So that invalidates it for Hilchos Mechitza. Remember one summer in NCS Wakolel, we stayed in the Moshav. We stayed in Moshav in Beit Meir. So our neighbors on the Moshav had goats. And that's a fairly normal thing when you're living on a Moshav. Had goats, and it happened to be that the wall separating between where we were and where they were didn't actually reach all the way down to the bottom. There were some breaks in the bottom of the wall. They used to sometimes watch the goats kind of sneak under the break in the fence. So it reminded me many, many times of this Gemara that the goats actually do go under the walls. That's B'kias Gadim. So the bottom line is that this halacha of a wall, mechitza tluya, is not acceptable. So the Chassam Sofer held that this is also going to impact on the umbrella. So therefore, you can carry an umbrella and you can open it in theory. And the Chassam Sofer never really permitted it. Lamais, he says, in theory, you can open up an umbrella on Shabbos thanks to the goats. Because since the goats could walk under your umbrella that's being held suspended in midair, that's not considered to be a real mechitza. Then the Chassam Sofer has another svar. He says that he doesn't think that opening an umbrella could be a malacha deraisa, because we never heard of such an ohel, moving temporary ohel. Ohel usually have that image of you pitch a tent line. Avraham Avinu pitches his tent, and the tent stays it stationary until you undo it and you pick it up and walk away with it. So you have a tent that you're walking around with your hands and spaziering around town with this tent in your hands. And that's always tent. That's not considered to be a tent. That's not considered to be an ohel. And therefore, the whole umbrella model, he doesn't think, is really going to be a real malacha altogether. So the Chassam Sofer writes, again, he's not advocating the chachil opening umbrellas. He realizes that it doesn't look right, and maybe it's a little marsayin, it looks a little bit like oil, people getting confused. So he's not advocating doing it, but he thinks that, he has an interesting law, he says, we don't have to be marish as oil, we don't make so much noise about it. He doesn't think it's a real bona fide malacha deraisa. So how do we pask in halacha? Do we pask in like the Nevi Yehuda that the opening umbrellas is an outright malach shava nisa deraisa? Or do we take the approach of the Chassam Sofer that the opening umbrellas is much less of an issue? So here there's another factor that goes into this equation that could also be a mitigating factor in terms of the umbrellas. That then again, here I don't know exactly what the umbrellas look like in the late 1700s, early 1800s. The closest I ever got to this was many years ago. I was at Sturbridge Village. I actually went back again this summer, back there again. It's, you know, this place in Massachusetts where they basically put together like a village that looks like the way it looked like in the early 1800s. So we actually went back this past summer. We went with the kids with a family trip a little bit. So we passed through it again. But on my last trip there, which is about 25 years ago, so I remember that they were showing off an umbrella from that period of time. I was very, very excited. My wife didn't exactly understand why I was so fascinated with the umbrella, but I explained to her that I was very, very excited about it because now I can finally see the Nevi Yehuda's tshuva, because it was around the same time, give or take a few years, and Yehuda, you know, Yehuda lived. So I was trying to get a little bit of a better sense of the umbrella, but I didn't really quite understand it either. And this year, apparently, the umbrella exhibit was long gone. So bottom line is that the way our umbrellas are today, you're not really even building the umbrella. You know, the umbrella is all there already. You get the impression from the Nevi Yehuda that you were mamish, like, almost like connecting it, you know, almost like tie it together, and you literally built it right here. It's all connected. It's made already. You just press the button and poof, it opens up. So it could be that when you have all the parts and pieces all connected, all tied, it's all strapped together, it just needs a little bit of a push, a little oomph to open it up. So it could be that that's mutter for a totally different reason. It could be that's not considered to be an ACSO altogether. We're going to hopefully talk about this later on. This comes up again in other kinds of items, other kinds of structures. This svara. So it could be that our opening umbrellas today may even be more lenient than the days in the Yehuda. So the bottom line is that nobody today is going to advocate l'chatchila opening umbrellas in Shabbos. We're not going to go down that route. But in terms of knowing, are we dealing with a real malacha deraisa or not a malacha deraisa? Again, that was a big machlokes in its heyday between the Yehuda and the Chassam Sofer. The Chazanish and the Chashabbos writes that even though the opening of our umbrellas is most probably not an issue deraisa for a variety of reasons, nevertheless, Chaznish has a very, very strong lashon. He says that this is something that has been kubal in Klal Yisrael, has been accepted by the Jewish people, not to open umbrellas. It's considered to be something that's a big, big pierce, that's a big breach in the Chil Shabbos, even though it's not per se probably asar, but it's something that Klal Yisrael have accepted it to be something which is a zilusa, something that's a very, very big zil, a very disgraceful Shabbos. And therefore the Chazanish writes, whenever Klal Yisrael accepts something as a geder, as a fence, as a safeguard to preserve the Shabbos, if a person violates that, it's not just like I violated it, you know, I moved a little mukta here and there, I violated that something that has become a kubal this defines as an inappropriate Shabbos activity, so that a person goes in and does that, that's a mezalzlan Shabbos. And mezalzlan Shabbos is even worse than just violating a little drabon here and there. So again, we're not advocating violating little drabons, big drabons, but a zilzlan Shabbos is also very, very significant. So that's why our practice has been already for many, many years. We do not open up umbrellas on Shabbos in any circumstances. The question has been raised, the Gedolei HaPoskim in early generations raised the question, what if we open up from before Shabbos? Should that be okay? So here also, our customers, we don't do that either. That was always considered to be an issue of Maariv Zayin. People, no one's going to know they opened it before, and it's an issue also of Zilzul Shabbos. And therefore, the bottom line is, umbrellas are off limits. Adkan, even though in terms of pure lomdus, it's not so poshut that they were really, really awesome all along, but after Pichain, Kach, Nogu Yisrael, and as the Chaznish says, we wouldn't tamper with something that was instituted by Klal Yisrael, was accepted by Klal Yisrael to preserve the sanctity of Shabbos. So the bottom line is umbrellas are pretty much off limits. This idea that we mentioned in passing, that Rabbi Yehuda highlighted, that when we deal with bona, in order to be bona deraisa, in order to be really a violation of a building, a structure, and a love of deraisa, so you have to have two components to it. It has to have walls, and it has to have a roof. If you just have a roof without walls, so that's significantly less of a problem with Hoshamas. So that distinction actually appears and becomes important for us, lahalacha, in certain other building kinds of structures, thinking about umbrellas, things like that, some other kinds of building structures, where there are differences between whether you make only a roof or whether you make walls as well as a roof. The Gemara Maseches Beitza discusses a potential isser of bona on Shabbos if a person piles things up on top of another. If he piles them up in such a way that it, at the end of the day, it kind of gives a building kind of a structure, almost like an OO kind of a structure. Even though it is clear from the context that that is not the person's intent. He is not at all interested in making an OL. He is simply interested in piling things on top of another. So the Gemara actually gives an example of, let's say you want to pile barrels on top of one another. So in theory, if you pile two barrels on the side and you put another barrel on top, you just built a building. You just built a walls and a ceiling to it, and a top to it. That's called like a violation of a CSOL on Shabbos. That's like you built a tent, like you built a building on Shabbos. The Gemara says the only thing is that the only time that that's usur is only if you built the walls first and then you put the roof. And again, it's a little bit of a stretch to call it the walls and a little bit of stretch to call it a roof. But again, with the Rabban, it gives off that impression of binyan. The only time that's awesome is if you built the walls first and then the roof afterwards. That's derech binyan. If you built the roof first and then you've stuck the walls in afterwards, that would be muta'iv l'chetchila. How you do that? Very simple. So you hold the barrel on top and you have another guy, two big guys, push the under barrels underneath. So that's okay. If you put the first barrels on first and you pile up the third one on top, that's an issue. That's a chasiyas b'chitz v'chasiyas gag on top of it. But if you do it the other way around, then it's for sure going to be okay. So Tosfos makes an observation in this Gemara, it's clear from this Gemara, that the making of just roof is okay. It means the only reason why the Gemara says it's usher is because I made walls and a roof, and it's only usher if I make it in that order. If I make it first walls and then a roof, but if I make the roof and then the walls, that's okay. So kal v'chayper, just making your roof is all right. But Tosfos says, wait a second, whoever does such a thing? You're allowed to make roofs on Shabbos. That's not what the Gemara Avin says. The Gemara Avin has a whole discussion about making the roof over the animals. And the Gemara says, you're not really allowed to do that in Shabbos. What you're allowed to do is, you're allowed to be meisiv al haroi. If it was made already and you want to just add on a little bit more, so that's okay. But just stop to make a roof on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do that. So what's the difference between the two sugyas? Everything is temporary. Everything's coming down soon. So what's the difference? So it explains that there's a big difference. But in the case of the Gemara Eirvin, when you're putting a roof over the sheet, over the animals to protect them, there you're doing it with tzorech mahil, with tzorech gag, with tzorech protection. So if your goal is to make a protection, so that's a problem. That's called an CSOL. Again, I didn't say it's deraisa. Maybe it's not a deraisa that doesn't have walls. Maybe it's not a deraisa that's not permanent. Whatever reason, it's not deraisa. But just making a protection will be a potential problem. If what you're doing is not a protection altogether, nobody's sitting under the barrel and being protected from the rain. So that's not considered to be derech a CSO anyway. Because it looks ishtikal, looks a little bit, it resembles a mashal, someone's going to get confused and think you're allowed to build buildings on Shabbos. So therefore, mid the Rabbanan, they made an issa that you shouldn't pile up barrels and other things on top of each other. So comes to us to explain, since it's not being done with tzorcha ohel, then it's only also when it's mechitzas and gag, and not only does it have to be mechitzas and gag, it's got to be in that order. It's got to be mechitzas and then the gag on top. So basically, you see again from this halacha that in order to be a real ohel, a real significant ohel, so mechitzas and gag plays a role. There's no question about it. Mechitzas and gag plays a role. The only thing is that if what you are doing is betoras oel. I'm doing for the purpose of oel. I'm doing for the purpose of protection. So then, simply making a any kind of a shape or form roof over me for protection is a problem in Shabbos. If I'm not doing it for protection, doing it for other reasons, doing it to pile up my barrels, so then it's only also if it's both mechitzas and gaktia. So hayotzibikol advarim, from what we have at this point is that we definitely have a concept of an asiyas goal on a love of deraisa. Sometimes building a tent-like structure can be a potential malachat deraisa. Sometimes building a tent-like structure can only be a violation of the rabbanon. What factors go into this equation? So we saw one issue is time, one issue is mechitzas. And then on a level of the Rabbanon, there's another question you have to ask yourself. What is your tent? Is your tent really to build something to protect or not necessarily to protect? So up until now, most of what we've been talking about is involving some form, some shape or form of a roof, something of some kind of a protection, either protection with walls, without walls, permanent, temporary, from the umbrellas to the sheets on top of the animals. They were all things that were done as a roof, as to protect somebody from getting from the rain, from the sun, etc. Now we have to turn the whole sugya on its head and say, wait a second, what about simply putting up walls? Is that also called the CSOL? I want to construct a wall. Now again, if I want to, I'm building a house, I'm coming in and I'm building with a real permanent structure into a house, so there's no question that that's an Issa Deraisa of Bona and Shabbos, even with a wall. To build a wall is an Issa Deraisa. I'm talking now about almost temporary, non-real malachas derais. I'm talking about very, very, there are abundant types of walls. Is there anything also per se about putting up walls on Shabbos, even in a temporary fashion? So this is going to become a very, very relevant shaila. This is going to become important in terms of Shabbos. Sometimes we have an area that we have to enclose with walls. Can we do that on Shabbos? So in terms of a sukkah, can we add on a wall to the sukkah on the Shabbos and Yom Tov is going to become a potential issue in terms of mechitzah and shul. Can we move mechitzahs around in shul and making these quote-unquote walls, moving them to different places? So we have a whole new question, whole new dimension of the sugya of Oel and Binyan. So we started out with that the real McCoy, the real Binyan deraisa is the walls and the tent and the top. That's the worst of the worst. If you have a tent of a top, without walls, that could also be a derabbanan sometimes. But now we're flipping the shayla the other way around. I have only walls, there's no tent. I'm not building a wall. I'm not building a tent on top of my mechitzin shul. I'm not building a tent on top of the air of walls. I want to know, is there an isra asiyas mechitza on Shabbos per se? Could that be included in an asiyaso? Again, if it's a permanent, and a mamish literally banging the nails and building a house, that's for sure. But I want to know, what about asiyas bechitza per se? A very, very temporary kind of asiyas bechitza. So Rashi writes that he thinks there's nothing else about it. There's nothing wrong whatsoever with asiyas bechitza. It's not a mile. That's nothing. It's a zero. So just to put up, you want to put up a sheet, you want to put up a piece of wood, you want to put whatever you want. Any kind of asiyas bechitza, it's only a derech haroi. It's no, you're not nailing anything in. It's just simply putting something in place that cannot be an issa. It's not an issa. There is an issa. Rabbanan said to come. And Rabbi Natan disagrees with Rashi. Rabbi Natan says, not always true. Rashi, sometimes right and sometimes not right. That there are certain kinds of asiyas mechitzas that do present a problem in Shabbos and others that are not. So what is a problem? What's not a problem is a whole loaded question. Really, it's going to set the stage up for next week's year. But it's trying to ascertain within the view of Rabbi Natan, which is the view that we pass in Allah, we don't really accept Rashi Shita. In Shulchan Aruch, we pass like Rabbi Natan. That sometimes you're not allowed to make walls on Shabbos. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Can I hang a curtain on Shabbos? Can I move mechitzah and shul on Shabbos? Can I have part of the Eruv fixed up temporarily? Can I part of the sukkah fell down? Can I fix it? These are all the shayos that are now going to develop based on the view of Rabbi Natan. According to Rashi, whatever is mechitzah is basically okay, but in Shulchan Aruch we don't pass like that. Hopefully from next week we'll try to analyze and elaborate a little bit more on what the guidelines, what the parameters are, which mechitzahs would be permissible in Shabbos and which would be problematic. Wish everybody a good vach.
A question on if you have a patio.